You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
And people just kept on showing every week, and we kept selling out a beer every week. And they're part of the success. Seriously, like we owe it all to them. That's why we
definitely
were able to like reinvest all this money during a difficult time into the business and actually expand. Right now, it's overwhelming. So it pushes us to not be comfortable and push forward and just. I don't know. Strive for greatness, man. I don't know.
For greatness.
It sounds weird.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians, talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. I hope you've been having a glorious week so far. I most certainly have been. This is going to be the last Vox and Hops episode for a whole month. That's right. I am taking a month-long vacation where I will be hanging out with my family so that I can enjoy life, metal, and craft beer a little bit more in depth. I'm looking forward to coming back in September in full force. If you are a new Vox and Hops head, do not worry. I have over 280 episodes that you can go back and check out throughout my month-long vacation. I'm very stoked to announce that I have teamed up with Indie Merch Store to bring you the official Vox and Hops merch store. Indie Merch makes the best merchandise. I have been working with them for years with Cryptopsy, so it was an easy choice to choose who I wanted to set up Vox and Hops' merch store with. You can head on over to my website, voxandhops.com/merch. That's voxandhops.com/merch to check out the full line of official Vox and Hops merchandise. When you are checking out, don't forget to use the promo code VOXHOPS10. That's VOXHOPS10, and you will save 10% off of your entire order. Now, before we jump into today's episode, I would just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I'm also asking you to tell a friend about the podcast. If there is someone in your life that loves metal and craft beer, tell them to listen to Vox and Hops. You can tell them that there are over 280 episodes available on their favorite podcast platform, with the world's best metal artists talking about their life, metal, and craft beer. If you were to encourage one of your friends to become a future Vox and Hops head, that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now, in today's episode, I am with Alex Herrien and Marc-André Filion of Missorum Brassatorium. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops episode number 289.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today I'm with Marc-André Filion and Alex Herrien of Missorum Brassatorium. Of course, Alex is from Despised Icon as well. Very cool to be back with you on the podcast. Very happy to be with you boys. Crack those beers. Go for it. Show us what we got. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great, man. How about yourself? Thanks for having us.
Of course. Super, super stoked. Let's just dive straight into the meat of this. Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends, talking about their lives, music, and craft beer. What beers are you guys drinking on your side tonight that we'll be sharing virtually?
Right now, I'm on the Single Touch Citra. It's a single IPA, 6.5 ABV. So, you know, it's Citra, so you know what you get.
Tastes like cat piss and farts. I love it.
Exactly. That's what I like.
You, Adrian, Alex, what are you drinking today?
So I just cracked Il était une fois sécheresse. So in the lager family, it's a Helles. A little sweeter than your average Pilsner. Quite refreshing. Today is like 46,000 degrees, so I'm quite enjoying it right now.
Hell yes, a glorious, warm, humid day in Montreal. On my side, I'm drinking the Wanhana Simcoe Double Dry Hop Double IPA, 8.2%. Stoked to try this. I'm going to crack this. Let's just jump straight into it. How did you guys cope with the glorious year that is now behind us, but it still seems to be lingering on of 2020?
I mean, it was a strange year, obviously. I think we stayed focused on what we had to do, and, you know, one day at a time, one week at a time. Every time there was a beer ready or they were thinking about brewing a new beer or something like that, you know, we'll just go ahead and do what we have to do. And yeah, so far so good. I don't think the COVID thing has ended. It's still up there, you know, we're still living it. But the fact that we're now open to public and, you know, having customers here on the terrace, it's pretty cool. So, yeah, I think we're really enjoying the summer so far. And hope things will keep that way. And, yeah, anniversaries come in and it's going to be huge.
Super busy, man. We're open 7 days a week now. And as Marc-André just mentioned, I don't know. I just feel super blessed. The fact that our tap room was closed for 8 months with everything happening, whether it's seeing a lot of people now on our terrace or the tap room and everything, or during those 8 months off, we were just a big beer store and people just kept on showing every week and we kept selling out of beer every week. And they're part of the success. Seriously, like we owe it all to them. That's why we
definitely
were able to like reinvest all this money during a difficult time into the business and actually expand right now. It's overwhelming. So it pushes us to not be comfortable and push forward and just, I don't know, strive for greatness, man. I don't know.
For greatness.
It sounds weird, but I don't know. We're dropping like four different beers a week and selling out within a week and just embracing that and trying to innovate still and not just
definitely
just not just use the same formula over and over again. And it's as Marc-André just mentioned, it's good to see our customers back on the terrace, just chilling, enjoying themselves. And that's what we're all about. You know, it was quite overwhelming being closed for all that time. And, you know, we had to lay off all the temporarily the entire staff, and everybody came back and everybody's stoked to work. And you know, it's not a chore. People are actually stoked to work here, and I feel like our customers can feel it, and that's why it's just an overall good experience for everyone involved. So in a nutshell, that's it, Matt.
That's amazing. And you hit on a few very key things about the identity of Masorum. You are supposed to be a bar for your quartier. It's supposed to be a bar for the local people living around you, a tap house.
It's supposed to be a local pub.
But during the pandemic, you switched everything up and became an online sales monster and did very, very well, which is difficult.
If you look at the beginning of Masorum, like when we first opened, we thought we will just be a local pub. And if you like that certain beer, you can leave with a 4-pack. But people started buying 4-packs like crazy.
Ultimate hustlers, ultimate metal musicians. I think it stems from that, having to work really hard and in reinvesting and everything. That's a band mentality. That's not putting money into your pockets. You're reinvesting into your brewery, into your business. And that is very, very commendable.
You buy new cabs, you buy a trailer, you buy a new van. That's pretty much it.
And you can't ever tune out. It's 24/7. There's no punch in, punch out. You always got to be on. And I don't know, I went from managing bands to managing a service team and
I don't know, this, different, but
same, but different. Yeah. I don't know. This is actually easier. I like it. And I get to not live out of a suitcase and sleep in my own bed every night. So it's been good.
I did want to touch on, we did have a conversation before on the podcast, and you weren't into craft beer. So
I was not.
I always ask this question when I have someone back on the podcast, is the evolution of their craft beer palate. So what happened?
What happened is I started working here and then I switched from like a Coors Banquet to all our delicious IPAs. I don't drink that many double IPAs. I'm still a lightweight when it comes to level of alcohol, but I don't know. I get it now and it's quite an enjoyable experience. I'm still not much of a drinker, but whenever I am in the mood, I get to enjoy one of these tasty beverages. And yeah.
You know, I used to tour with Alex, you know, with Obita Brave, and I know him, you know, on tour and as a friend, you know, he's not like you said, he's not like a beer drinker. You know, he would maybe like have like cider or something like that, or like, Apple Jacks or
Apple Jacks? The beer? Oh, you need Mad Jack. Mad Jack? No, that's
Apple Jack's
that's
beer.
A that spies drink.
Oh, anyway.
But I converted the spies to all their smoothie sours. Yeah. So they love les petits jus de mort.
But definitely. I remember, Alex, when he got here, and it was something like really different to him. But...
And when I drank them, in my defense, they weren't necessarily good either.
But I think they were good, but you were not used to it. First time I had a IPA, I remember it was like a big hazy IPA, whatever. It was from Alchemist in Vermont, and I think it was from Vince. Vince brought it back, and I had it. And first sip, I was like, ugh, it was itchy here. I was like all the time, clearing my throat, like, what the hell is that shit, man? I don't want to drink that. But at the end, like, I fucking have like a brew here, and that's like what we root in most. It's kind of weird, but yeah.
Classic Vox and Hops question. I want to hear about your very first beers. Do you remember the first beers that you guys ever drank?
Oh my god!
Oh yeah, I remember. It was a Black Label from my uncle Gilles, but the first one that I actually bought, it was that little brown bottles from Unibrew. They were selling for 99 cents at the convenience store next to my house. And we had like a cabin in the forest. So every time it was a Friday night, we took your, when you clean the floors in the bathroom and your moms give you $10, on Friday afternoon, you go get some weed and, everything you can find to get fucked up, And for 99 cents, I used to get a five piece and three, four bottles of, I don't remember the name. It's the little small brown bottle from Unibrew, like the old school shapes. La Bolduc.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. So I was going pretty hard on the on the Bolduc.
It got the job done. How about you, Alex?
I seriously can't remember.
Was probably about 50 or more.
I mean, spending a lot of time at Foof's during our early adult years, Molson Dry, definitely. But I'm just looking back, being a teenager, going to like various parks with my friends. I feel like we would get like the Airpoint Zwittlitz.
Bull Max or
Bull Max or St. Ides.
Saint Ides,
whatever, however you pronounce it. Both were gross, but you just had to chug them and get them over with, and then you had a good buzz.
Fucking cold 45s.
Cold 45s.
For the boys.
Yeah. Just punishing, but effective. I want to hear about the soundtracks of your youth. When you were growing up in your parents' or guardians' house, what music was playing when you were not in control of the radio? What music did your parents or guardians listen to?
Oddly enough, all the music that my parents listened to, all the like soul stuff, R&B, Earth, Wind, and Fire, all that stuff I used to hate. You know, Marvin Gaye was not into it, and now it's all I listen to now. But
share the spice of life.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I even play some here at Masorum sometimes.
Yeah, so good.
What did I used to listen to back then? Just a lot of metal, a lot of punk rock, some hardcore. So the classics, the Pantera, the Sepulturas, and then you sort of build that tolerance into the heavy world. So for me, I started with the local scene. I started with a band called Necrotic Mutation.
Oh, yeah.
And then wanted something a little heavier. A band called Cryptopsy. I don't think you've ever heard of them.
Never.
But,
apparently the singer sucks.
Dude. Yeah.
The new singer, yes.
No, real story though. The first show, 18 plus show I ever snuck into was a Cryptopsy show. I was 17.
Cryptopsy. Okay.
And I tried to grow a mustache or something so I wouldn't get carted at the door, and then managed to see you guys. Who else was on there? I think Nile was on the bill, and they never made it past customs. And then a band called Oppressor, and I can't remember who else. And then I don't know, some of the punk rock stuff, the early Pennywise and NoFX, and then hardcore stuff, probably like Madball and then Biohazard. In a nutshell, that's it.
And you, Filio, what did your parents listen to?
Oh, my parents were kind of all over the place. It was from Beau Dommage to Sarah McLachlan, REM. My dad is a big fan of Rush.
I was going to say Chris loves Rush.
Yeah, I don't know why, but yeah. Some Pink Floyd also. They used to listen to a lot of music, but now I know it's just like, I don't see them like having like a, you know, like a passion about music anymore. But, you know, like I went to for a breakfast with my mom last Friday. And I was wearing a Joy Division t-shirt. And my mom asked what it was. I was like, yo, you don't even, you never heard of Joy Division? And I was like, New Order, you know, like when a singer killed himself, blah, blah. She's like, oh, yeah, I know New Order. And she asked me on Sunday, like, hey, what's the name of that band again? And then I said, Joy Division. She's like, okay, I'm listening to Joy Division right now. It's really good. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool.
It's a beautiful cyclical inspiration.
Yeah. I like Fidion's parents. His mom just got a tattoo for him.
Yeah.
Pretty cute.
Very cool. Is it his?
I work with his dad, too. He's a beauty.
Yeah, my dad is in SRM also, so.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing.
Family thing.
I love it. I love it. Big question. We talked about this a lot, Fillion, when we did the roundtable from Onzia de la Bière. You guys have stumbled into and become a brewery that is known as one of the hype breweries, one of the most exciting breweries, one of the breweries that chases every week releasing beer, and then it's gone. You went through a moment when there was no beer because people just bought everything. So I'm interested to, you had a very good answer. I don't know if you remember what it was I said, but I remember. I'll help you along. What is hype? Why is there hype in craft beer? You had a great answer during the roundtable. I'd like to say it again.
I don't really like the word hype. You know, like we're not creating hype. I think we're just creating cool stuff, good stuff, you know, for your mouth. And you know, like visually this, you know, the tags are kind of colorful. And people are, you know, like they seem to really enjoy what we do overall. And I think the hype comes from people buying our stuff. And when something's sold out, people are kind of going crazy over like, oh, you didn't brew enough, like brew more and brew more. But, you know, I think this is what creates the hype around SRM. I don't feel really comfortable in front of people, you know, like when they're speaking about trends. And there are some breweries I've been asked from. There was like brewery. I don't know. I don't want to name drop anyone, but someone asked me how much we paid for hype. Like seriously, it's a real question. Some people think that we paid some people to have a hype, and if you know, we never gave any beers like to influencers or anyone. And, you know, like we have a 4-pack each for every beer. And if we want another pack, we got to pay like the whole thing, like not like 30% off or what. No, I got to pay for it. So, yeah, most of the time I don't get a second pack, you know, because it's just I can't buy like 4 packs every week like some people do, you know. But, yeah, I think it's the hype comes from customers, I think.
It's all organic. It's all word of mouth. They enjoy the beer. They like the vibe, you know.
They come here. Pictures,
we're by the canal. It's a nice environment. Not a lot of big streets around, so there's not a lot of noise pollution and just a visually stimulating environment. The terrace is great. Lots of room for a lot of people and kind of isolated, so it's our little beer garden, you know.
And it's kind of cute, and people like to take photos and share, you know, on Facebook, Instagram stories or posts. And when people see the terrace for the first time, I think people are kind of like, oh wow, where's that place, you know, and they want to go. So when they have a little taste of the SRM, what we have here, you know, the terrace, the staff here at the bar, Alex, you know, so cool signing autographs and vinyls and yeah, but taking photos with fans from all around the world. It's crazy.
But my job here as a service manager is just making sure that our service and the overall experience is up to par with the product itself, you know? So that's like the key point when I interview, you know, future employees. I just, mainly it's obviously they have to be competent, but it's also just having that good energy, that team spirit. And, you know, we genuinely enjoy working here and our customers can feel it. And, you know, that's why they keep coming back. And I don't know, we're just operating at max capacity as far as brewing is concerned. So there's no false fake supply and demand. We're just trying to brew as much beer as we can and we can't keep up. So I'd like to thank everybody that supports us. Seriously, it's been overwhelming and it's definitely pushing us to work even harder for sure.
So exciting. I remember seeing the first glimpses of the brewery 2 years ago now, and I went to the soft launch and I was like, this is beautiful. It's amazing. I was expecting metal music, but I understand now why it wasn't there, and I respect that.
And why is that?
Because it doesn't necessarily fit into the entire vibe of what Masorum is, and I respect that.
And what is the vibe of Masorum? I'm taking notes
now. It's more of a everybody place. You don't want to push people away. It has to be cool, but more of a calculated cool, not an elitist metalhead cool. So as much as you guys are that, you're definitely cater to many more people. You are a local pub with a chic cool vibe.
You know, we feel like everyone is welcome here, and you know, the fact that, you know, like we play all kind of, you know, different music, you know, from The Cure to Griselda or Wu-Tang, or, you know, we put a lot of different music on, but it has like a Brooklyn, New York vibe, you know, and I think everyone seems to, you know, fit in here. There's no like, it's just for everyone, you know, and we feel like no one should be, everyone should feel comfortable here, even if you're cool or not, like, and what's cool, what's not anyway. So.
For sure. Definitely inclusive.
Beer is something like that brings people together. And it's just fun stuff, you know. You get, you sit with your friends at a table and you drink beer, and that's what we all like, you know. If you're a yo, like, you know, a fresh.
Or a yo. What year is this, 1990?
Or poil, let's say, or preppy, you know. Beer is for everyone.
Well put, man.
It's a beautiful thing, a beautiful thing. I love that. When it comes to week by week, you guys are one of these breweries that I find it extremely interesting, but if I was there, I would be stressed as an artist. It's almost like every week you're doing your follow-up album. You're a success, and every week there is the stress of keeping that quality up there. How do you handle the pressure?
Don't go on Untapped.
Oh, definitely don't. I don't go on Untapped anymore. Yeah, it's Willie's job now. He goes on Untapped and see if everyone's happy. You know, if we see a excited beer or something, we send a little comment or whatever it is. Like, if he didn't enjoy his beer, we send him a comment. And we try to, you know, talk with customers through Untapped and social networks. Yeah, exactly.
And in person, you know.
It's really important. The communication with customers is really, really important. And I think there was a lack of communication at the beginning, because, you know, I was doing social medias and I was doing the tags, obviously, all the merch, you know, glasses, t-shirts, hats, everything with that has a Masorum logo on it. I was obviously like working behind the bar also, cleaning the bathrooms. I was canning the beers, on the canning line. I was doing like everything at the beginning. So when people were sending emails, it was just like, fuck, you know. And at a certain point, it was more emails, more emails, more emails, more Instagram, more DMs. And we just like, and at the first anniversary, when everything sold out in like 6 minutes, people went totally crazy. And it was a fucking war. I spent like 10 hours responding to angry people. It was really, really bad. I got into, you know, like words fight with customers. I was like, okay, I just need a break. I can't do this anymore, you know? I will end up like fighting someone, you know? It's just fucking beers, you know?
I mean, you put your heart and soul into the brewery and the art and everything. I can understand.
It took like fucking 3 years opening this, you know. You know, when we first opened, it was, we worked 3 years Comment on temps perdu?
3 years here and there.
Yeah, exactly. When we were like working 40 hours a week, you know, like with our jobs, like 40, 50 hours a week. And we ended up doing it, opening it. And, you know, like people saying that your brewery is bullshit, blah, blah, you don't brew enough. And it hits you straight in the heart, you know, because you worked so hard for that and you still work like your ass off every day just to have like a release next week, you know? So,
I feel like what Fidel is trying to describe is just things grew so rapidly that it got kind of overwhelming, and you can multitask and try to do everything. But at some point you just, as things expand, you need to find the right people to delegate. And that's what we've been doing.
Yeah.
And through everything that Fidel has described, we've learned quite a lot. Definitely customer service now is way better than it ever was. You know, we love speaking with our customers, you know, whether it's in person or online. We've learned a lot through the process, you know. Thanks to them, we've managed to improve this or that, and ultimately everyone benefits from that. So it's a learning experience, you know. Nothing's perfect. We are not 2 years old yet. We will be
soon, in 2 weeks.
Yes, exactly.
But so. I think it's probably like the part that I'm the most happy about. You know, the fact that now we can have like customer service, and it was probably the most scariest thing for me at a certain point. Because I thought that it will never be able to manage that certain part of the business, and you know, like
that itself is a full-time job.
Yeah, definitely not a part-time job. And you know, like as a customer, I'm pretty sure that if you send an email and you get an answer like a week after, maybe like you're not super stoked about, you know, having an answer like a week later.
Now we pride ourselves in answering right then and there.
Yeah.
You know,
we try our best.
Everybody, whether they call or email us, they get an answer almost right away. So I'm quite happy with that. And I don't know. I did it for a while. I did it all winter. And then once we reopened, I just started doing what I was doing. And so now we have someone that's doing that full time and loves it. And once again, it shows, and our customers are genuinely happy because of that. I would like to think so.
Yeah, I would like to think so too.
But yeah, learning process, man.
Every job needs the right hat. Every job needs the right hat, you know, and the right person has to be in the right position.
This is the story of Whitney Houston.
This is the story of Kurt Cobain.
Of George Michael, of Otis Redding, of Amy Winehouse, of Michael Hutchence, Bob Marley. This is the story of Prince.
It's a new podcast series
about how they died, why they died, and why we're still talking about them so long after.
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
It's storytelling.
But it's more than that, because rock stars,
they tell us how we feel. They change our mood.
They change the clothes we wear, the people we hang out with,
the way we remember things.
It's them who give us those ludicrous moments, the ones where you're
jumping around, singing your heart out, feeling understood.
And it's those moments we'll help you remember, the ones you're thinking about right now.
That feeling.
That feeling.
It's coming soon from Crowd Network.
Just search for Death of a Rockstar on your podcast app.
And subscribe now.
I want to talk to you, Filio, specifically about your artistic creative side. It's very, very special what you've created. You have created a brand that is recognizable. It's so damn recognizable that people gave Boreal shit that they ripped you off and came to the point that Gabriel Zunon wrote you about it, and then you subsequently did a collab together because of that. I love that.
He didn't write me. He actually called me.
There you go.
I was like, I was in the Tunnel Ville-Marie, you know, I was crossing the city, and I was just like, okay, just answering. And yo, it's Gab Dulong from Boreal. I was like, for real? Like, what the fuck? Are you mad about the tag thing? Anyway, cool story.
It's really cool. Yeah. I think it's just super interesting. Being a brewer, you have materials to work with, right? You're going to make a beer. You're going to make 4 beers a week for yourself. I feel like the inspiration must be far more difficult. How do you handle that, the artistic side of coming up with new cans, of rebranding old cans, because you've mentioned to me that even the original cans, if you bring stuff back, you redesign them even now. So talk to me about that whole creative process.
But, you know, it's a, I would say it's a hard process now because, you know, I think I'm designing like actually when we started recording this podcast, I was taking photos, but since the second anniversary is coming in 2 weeks, I still have like 7 or 8 tags to do.
Wow.
And I did 2.5 yesterday, and it's just like, you know, every day it's kind of crazy. Every time Gab and Vince have an idea, a new something, or they're changing a recipe, they want to do some, you know, that new beer that they're thinking about. So I just have to find a name and then find some ideas. You know, it's getting hard because I just did like 200 tags in less than 2 years. When we first opened, we were expecting to brew like 40 beers a year.
Wow. 40. Okay.
We did almost 100 in the first year. So at 40, I was like, okay, it's a lot, but I can probably like manage it. But 100, I was like, you guys are fucking like abusing right now. It's just like, and now, you know, a year later, I'm still here and another like 100 tags. So it's getting harder and harder for sure. And, you know, reading some stuff on internet, watching magazines, Instagram also, you know, I go to Beringheim on Instagram, click this artist and then see what he's doing. And then I click another artist and then I just get lost somewhere on Instagram. And then I end up on Pinterest looking at things, discovering new artists. But I never bite anything, you know. Uh-huh. I'm not that kind of guy. So I get ideas here and there, old band t-shirts, you know, old designs. You know, I'm a huge The Cure fan. I'm listening to The Cure for the last 3 months in a row. You know, I used to be like, I grew up with The Cure, but for a certain time, I just, you know, it was in my iTunes, but not really listening to it. But for the last like 3 months, I think I'm listening to The Cure like every day. So going through there, you know, there's I watch some shows on Netflix, on YouTube while the pandemic, you know, alone at home, watching some shows on TVs, having some ideas here and there. You know, it's just, there's no recipe to create. Sometimes, you know, like yesterday, woke up at like, I don't know, 10, and I sit down in front of my computer with Sharpies and piece of papers and trying stuff, and for like 10 hours I didn't do shit. It was just like,
you can't force it.
No, it was the shittiest day, seriously, like one of the shittiest day since we opened yesterday. It was just like, there was nothing going on. I was just like freaking out because I know I have so many tags to designs. And, you know, it's summer. We some companies, they have a vacation. So I have to, you know, it's in 2 weeks. So I have to, you know, push harder to, you know, send the PDFs, you know, the tags. I have like this pressure on my shoulders, and it's probably the hardest way to create when you feel like you got to do it now. You know, and I hate creating in that position. You know, you feel like you need to fucking, you know, shit some, you know, put something on the table right now. And it's probably like the worst way to,
I feel like you're
think
still
about creating.
You're still doing a good job at it. And sometimes that added pressure,
Thank you.
There is some magic that happens. You know, I mean, Matt, you know, you've been there. A lot of musicians watch this, listen to this podcast. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that blank page syndrome. I don't know. You got a deadline from your label for this record, and you got to make sure you put it out for that tour, and so on and so forth. And then, you know, you got pressure from your agent and your A&R, and I don't know, fans, everything, and you want to, I don't know, you want to deliver, you know, and once in a while you'll write a
film. It has to be good, you know?
Yeah, it's got to be good. It's all killer, no filler. And once in a while you'll write a song in like, I don't know, half an hour, a day. And then sometimes it literally takes months, you know. Yeah. But in Filion's case,
it can take months. It cannot, you know, we have to put out beers every week. So, I can't imagine that type of pressure.
I don't want to shit on a fucking like piece of paper, scan it. And you know, like, or, you know, it has to,
might be interesting.
Yeah.
I was thinking
it
that.
Has to be like, seriously, here at Messaram, no one's or disliking my everything I do. It's kind of weird. I'm the, you know, I don't even know how to say that.
Self-critical? I feel like we all are.
Yeah, but you know, like I do something and Vince is like, oh, it's crazy. I'm like, no, it's fucking shit. And you know,
I'm sure he's the same way with the beer though.
Probably. No, I don't think so. No. No, he's not. But yeah, when I'm not comfortable with printing a certain tag, I just don't go further and I just start another one. And I don't even know what is the question.
You answered it perfectly. I asked Vince the same question a year ago when I had the conversation with him, who had the harder job coming up to make these beers come out, and he obviously said you had the harder job. So.
I mean, there's
the names right now. It's kind of crazy. I don't want to. There's a beer coming up for second anniversary, and it's called Clock Was Ticking. And because deadline was, and you know, clock was ticking, like used to, you know, be ticking because, you know, it's always death related, you know? So, and I just talked with the guy on the phone. I was like, yo, clock is ticking, man. It's right now, or it's, you know, it's a bust. And I was like, yo, it could be, actually, it might be the name of the beer. Like clock was ticking. You know, but it's kind of you know, like, yeah. So it's still death related, and I got to find some ideas here and there when we actually do something like that. You know, I wasn't expecting to find a name, just saying that, you know, to the guy, yo, it's right now, you know, like clock is ticking, and it's just like, yeah, it's the name of the beer, and I was really happy because I probably saved 2 hours of my life just to try to find a name with a. You know, like death related name or yeah. So yeah.
Listen, that's your process, but if you're drawing blanks, just hit me up. I got a notepad full of like song titles and you could have whichever you want.
Okay, but yo, just like send it like 6 months ago.
But again, like sometimes I like try to think of what you do, and like for instance, if I have to like do some basic accounting or anything, all I got to do is total up some numbers and I'm doing my task. But for you, if you got to do a label, it's not just a matter, okay, I'm going to draw a label. I can't even put words to it.
It's weird. I just do it. I got to do it anyway. So
it's art.
If I don't do it, like, guys will be pissed at me. So I just have to deal with it, find a name, design a tag, and a week later, it's still something, still in some tags to do.
I mean, we're rebrewing some of our favorites though. So
yeah, right now, because there's a law that is, that just passed here in Quebec. So tags with plastics will be illegal. So all the tags that we have here, we have to get rid of them because, you know, it's a lot of money. So we're doing a lot of redo, but not only for that reason. It's because, we are, we'll have a lot of new different beers, new beers for the second anniversary. So we don't want to, you know, we're keeping some cool surprises for that event. So in this, for the weeks just before the anniversary, it's just like normal that we do some regular stuff to, you know, have a little surprise. Early August, you know,
and to give you guys a bit of space too, so that you can have time to create all these new things.
Because July is like the most difficult month for me. I do photos also, and you know, it's kind of crazy. So if I don't have anything to create with the beers that they're brewing or before the anniversary, it saves my ass.
Let's talk about the 2 year anniversary party.
We'll have this really cool collaboration with American Cellera and Holmes. This is a really cool pastry stout in 750 millimeters. I think this is gonna blow some minds. We have two two fucking like killer stouts, barrel aged stuff. We have one with vanilla, one without vanilla. And I think that one, it's a blend from three barrels. One has been aged for like 20 months. The other one is 14 and the other one is 9 months. This is probably like the best product that we ever did. It's just crazy.
We were doing a lot of pastries and the one that I tasted was not a pastry and I loved it.
It was probably that one.
And I'm super critical with stouts and I think you'll be stoked.
Yeah. So we have a lot of collabs with American breweries, actually.
We've done a lot of collabs with, you know, breweries from around here that are our friends and that we support and everything. So we try to keep it fresh, expand, try out new.
We still have our friends, horizons. We have Sir John. We have a collab with Sir John and Rebutters together. We have a stout with Bas Canada. We have this amazing pills with Grand Bois. You know, they're fucking killing it. And they're like the best lager brewery in the world. So, yeah, it's good to have them on our side. We have this weird banana split smoothie sour with two tides. We have a double IPA with Ohms. We have a double IPA with vitamin C. We have, you know, it's cool to have like to have some connections with the US. It's where the you know, like the IPAs are like blowing up and blew up actually. And this is where the good stuff is right now. If you know what's up in the craft brewery scene, you know that the Americans are fucking killing it, you know? And it's good to have some breweries having our back and having some good conversations with them, you know, hanging out with them. They're just like cool people. And I know some of the, you know, guys from American Silver and Holmes, Two Ties, are flying here for our anniversary. So it will be cool to have them here for the first time. And yeah, it's just, you know, beer, it's something that brings people together, and I really enjoy doing what we do, and can't wait for tomorrow.
Matt, as far as I'm concerned, I just want to make sure people don't wait as much as last year. We had a waiting line from like Massorum all the way to Boulevard de la Vérendrye. People on average waited an hour and 15 minutes to get their beer, and we really want to cut that like majorly. Quadruple the amount of like workstations, iPads, cash registers, employees, doubled the size of our terrace. We want it to be a pleasurable experience. You know, it's I hate people seeing people wait for that long. We were straight up last year. It was such a hot and warm day.
Oh, yeah.
We had water pitchers with like ice and plastic cups, just handing them out to people in the waiting area, just making sure they're all right. And I don't know. That's my mandate for this year.
Amazing. Is there any special things going on? Some music events, some DJ sets? I think last year there was some stuff like that. Is there anything like that?
Some DJs for sure.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, some DJs for sure. Didn't have much time to, you know, prepare that this year. It's more beers than last year, than the first anniversary. So it's more work for everyone. And, you know, clock is ticking. And, you know, we'll have some DJs, but I don't think this year will be, but next year, probably some shows. We'll probably book some bands. We'll see what we want to, you know, we want to party with people, you know.
Remember shows?
I remember shows, yes.
Oh, man.
I do want to talk about filling the void from live shows, though. I'm very lucky I get to do the podcast. I get to be worried that I'm not prepared enough before I sit down here. Are we going to connect with the artist? I'm very lucky I've been filling the void of performing with the podcast. How have you been filling the void, both of you?
For me personally, I don't know where to start, quite frankly. I've been touring since the late 90s and then professionally since early mid 2000s. At some point it kind of takes its toll, you know, being on the road 6 months out of the year.
You're
steadily
getting old too. You're fucking getting old.
Hey, I feel good for my age, man. But I guess I came to the realization in 2019 that I wanted to try out. Yeah, I was getting old and I wanted to try out something different. And all of fall 2019, I was on tour continuously. I dropped two records that year with both of my bands.
And I remember being at home for 3 weeks out of the full 3 months of fall 2019. So I actually missed Missorum's grand opening. I was there before while Filion was painting like picnic tables and seeing the bar being assembled and everything. And that was amazing, but I actually missed out on the opening. And then I remember getting back from Europe, just super burnt out. And then I was in an emo type of mood. And then my friend Sean FaceTimes me, and then I poured my heart out. And then he spoke to Filion, and then Filion FaceTimes me at like midnight. He's like, "What are you up to, man?" I'm like, "Oh, I don't know. I'm not feeling good. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know where I'm at in life.
He cried.
I need a break. I did not cry."
It's okay to cry. You can cry. You can cry, man. Men, women, everyone can cry. It's okay.
But dude, it's, you know, I'm,
he was like, "How about you just show up tomorrow and work with us?" I was like, "Nah, I didn't like that idea of being hired because I was a friend or anything." I do have qualifications and whatnot, to be fully honest, but, so I was like, "Nah." And then the next day, Seb, who also works at Missorum, one of our good friends, he was like, calls me. So
he was guitar player for Ion Dissonance.
Ion Dissonance, exactly. So he hits me up. He's like, "So you're going to come to work tomorrow?" And I was like, "All right, fuck it. Might as well. Let's try this out." And I just really needed that change of pace. And I've been learning all about this magnificent world of
craft beer
and just working with my friends. And, you know, some of it is a new challenge to me. Some of it is quite familiar in an odd type of way. You know, I've been able to transpose some of the music stuff and apply it to Missorum. And I don't know.
It's really good to have him here around. You know, we're all friends, you know, me, Vince, Sebastian. You know, having Alex around, it's kind of cool. It's, he's our bro. And, you know, like at our age, you know, for, you know, the Camarade de Martel, you know, when we have kids and you're, you know, like you have a family, you know, to feed and stuff, you work 40 hours a week, it's harder. It's getting harder and harder to see your friends, you know, but here I just see my fucking friends every day.
It's sick.
We're fucking blessed. We're blessed, you know.
I could just be myself, and same for him. And you know, we've known each other for like 20 years. Yeah. So it's been fun. I actually love this job, and it's a new challenge for me. And that's how I've been staying focused. You know,
but it's not a challenge anymore. You're just like fucking good at what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm killing it.
Yeah,
not gonna lie.
I'm so happy to have him here. You know, like, you know, having a friend leaving on you know, on tour all the time, you see him like between tours. It's not like super easy, you know. But you know, I know he wants to get back on the road at some point, you know. But since, you know, the pandemic and shit, it's harder. But having him around, it's kind of cool to see to finally see your friends and all the time.
I don't know.
On a daily basis, you know, it's kind of cool.
It sure is. And yeah, I mean, long story short, that's how I've stayed focused throughout this entire event. And it's given me the opportunity to, you know, try out new things, but also given me enough time away from music that I actually genuinely miss it now. And I'm looking forward to, you know, rekindling with my bandmates and writing new material and getting back on tour. But I don't think I'll ever tour as extensively as I used to. I think that's behind me, and I love living in Montreal. It's something that I've rarely experienced in my adult life, quite frankly. So I really love this experience. And I don't know. I feel like next time I'll be on tour, I'll have the same feeling as the rest of my bandmates in Despised who weren't in another band or weren't still touring full time like I was in Obey the Brave. And every time they're on tour, it's 3 weeks out of the year and they're on vacation. It's like, no kids. They love their kids. Don't get me wrong. No kids, no work, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, let's fucking party, play death metal, you know? So I feel like next time I'll be on tour, that's how I'm going to feel. So thanks to this right here, I feel like it's the best of both worlds. And I finally achieved that balance that I was longing for. So yeah, in a nutshell, thanks for listening.
I love it. And Filion, you, as much as you struggle, fight, to find that creativity, to get your tags done, to get your labels done, you're still painting on the side for yourself artistically and selling these pieces. I think that's amazing. Is that how you've been filling the void? You still find time for art, even though your day job is art.
It's just like less sleep, I guess. It's you know, creating some art different, you know, like a different way than what you're doing on a daily basis. It's just like, sometimes it gives me not hopes, but it's just like helped me to get out of my mind. I mean, it's just like another way to create. So it gives me more ideas after, you know, when I do like a certain line with paint, I will think of something, you know, like mixing colors. You know, sometimes it's good to step back, you know, take a step back and look at what you're doing and, you know, creating. I do music also.
Bought a new bass.
Yeah,
a new project.
Yeah, I'm on a solo project right now. It's kind of a new wave, kind of solo project, new wave in French.
What's that
it's
called?
Really
Does it
cool.
have a name?
It's really not yet. Okay. I don't know if it will be Filion or I don't know yet. But I'm just, you know, focusing on the music now. Right now, but not right now. But I'll be back on it in August because right now it's just too crazy. So it's a, I bought a bass while the pandemic was at its peak. I bought a jazz professional two jazz bass. I bought a Telecaster also. I spoiled myself. I was really, really bad at playing guitar. So I tried learning, you know, but I'm more like a bass player, so I like to when I get home at like midnight, I just take my bass and I play like The Cure and Joy Division songs and finding riffs, and you know, it's kind of cool to, you know, do something different than fucking tags all day long.
Hell yeah, hell yeah.
She's on that sad boy shit.
Yeah, really. Yeah, but there's some cool bands that I discovered lately. There's just a. There's the new wave scene is kind of cool. There's some bands called, you know, Fearing.
What's that band from Montreal you showed me that?
Body Wash.
Body Wash? They're actually pretty good.
Really good. There's this band from California called Fearing. It's real good. You know, there's a band from New York called Tempers. It's really good also. Topography from Oakland. So good. You know, I discovered so many good bands in the last year, and you know, last time I went on, it's been a long time since I've, you know, like when I went to on internet to try to find some new bands, you know, I used to do that shit like on Napster and yep. You know, years ago, trying to always find the new coolest hardcore or metal band, you know, but I think Shopify is Spotify is kind of cool for that, you know, like you can see the similar artists at the bottom of every pages and you can get lost, you know, like clicking this artist and then you click another artist, and I kind of enjoyed the discovering bands you know, when the curfew was a, you know, when the curfew was
at 8 o'clock.
Exactly. But you know, like here at MSRM, it's kind of, it's called
essential service.
Exactly. So we had this little piece of paper that lets you be out after 8. So when I was getting back home, you know, streets were empty. Uh-huh. It was just so fucking weird to drive back home and see the empty streets. And it was actually like, I kind of enjoyed it, you know, I felt like it was like the end of the world, and I was just like, I'm still alive, you know, I was getting back home, listening to some music, playing music, reading books. I really, really enjoyed the curfew actually. Huh. Yeah. The full lockdown, I really, really enjoyed it.
I hated it.
And I was expecting like, I would have enjoyed another on a lockdown. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. I'm sorry, guys. If, you know, some people from Quebec didn't, but I actually really liked it.
Let's wrap this up. Classic Vox and Hops wrap-up question. It probably doesn't happen to you guys very often because you're surrounded by beer all the time, but every once in a while it happens to everyone. What are your hangover cures?
The hangover cure?
Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, man. Like,
doesn't drink enough.
I never drink enough. I have not been drunk in years. Normally, I'll like drink a can or like a glass or two, and then I'm good. But if not, I don't know, just a lot of water and Advil.
Yeah, pretty much the same for me. I would say when I'm really, really hungover, I would say Gatorade. And I will probably drink a liter, like a full liter, like two 500 milliliters.
A liter. Liter is something yeah, super gross. Yeah.
I will eat the liter. No. I mean, yeah, like a liter, full liter, a liter of Gatorade. I don't know if I said it right that this time, but
you're doing great. You're doing great.
I'm not English. So I think I'm doing great.
You're doing great.
What's your cure, Matt? Enlighten us.
I suffer in silence.
I mean, jerking off is really good.
That's what the singer, well, the ex-singer of Igor Lal said. She has sex, and that fixes everything. But
nice.
I suffer in silence. I got two young children. They didn't drink the beers. I hydrate. Actually, really, what really it is, it's a, you know, a fruited sour with coffee, which is how Brutal Juice from Brewski came to life, because that's exactly what I do.
Oh, nice.
That's
kind
of cool. Nice.
Guys, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're very busy planning the second year anniversary, which is tomorrow. People, get ready. Head on over there. Don't wait in line too long. They got enough beer for all of you. They got enough terrace space. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be fun. I just want to say thank you so much. Spending some time with me, having a chat about your life, music, and craft beer.
Thanks to you.
Thanks, buddy. Cheers.
You're doing a great job. Cheers.
Cheers, buddy.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. What an awesome conversation. I am just so stoked that I finally got Alex Herrien back on the podcast. We had a very cool time connecting at Heavy Montreal, and I have been just so stoked that he hooked up with the fine people of Missorum Brassatorium, because they're one of Quebec's best breweries. Love this conversation. I am just so stoked for their anniversary event, which is happening this weekend. You should definitely head on over there if you can. You might just see me there. If you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You could do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details of everything that has happened throughout the past week in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. So please, please do me a favor. Sign up to the Vox and Hops mailing list. There is just so much going on in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, I would hate for you to miss a single thing. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. I hope that you have a glorious month of August. I am going to be taking a break. I'm looking forward to recharging my batteries, come up with a bunch of sick new ideas, and come back in full force in September. But until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
Welcome to us talking about our podcast for a minute.
What's the name of that podcast?
That's Axe to Grind. And right now you're going to be getting a little taste of it, right down to the shaky microphone and all.
And my name's Bob.
And my name's Patrick. And usually we're joined by Tom.
Tom's the best. Tom has a real grown-up job that requires him to be at work. But we talk about decidedly not so grown-up things like
hardcore music and things that people that like hardcore music tend to like.
So that could be the latest shows, revisiting classic material, talking about the new classics, all the little dorm room nonsense that you imagine from niche music podcasts that you either love, want to love, or hate.
Yeah, imagine all the emotions that you have towards a genre that has impacted your life. And then condense them down to an hour to 2 hours a week.
So triangulate your speakers. Think about jumping off the bed, singing along, dancing like an idiot, and listen to Axe to Grind Podcast.